Right. Well, very interesting times, and they're going to get a lot more interesting through the course of this next week. So starting with the basic economics to begin with, and what we're getting out of the US is that we've had some fade on economic activity running through the third quarter, but there's a hint in some of the leading indicators that things are starting to reaccelerate. It makes it really interesting as we get into the FOMC meeting, which they've got coming up this week. But just some of that data over the course of the past week. Still got house prices going ballistic in the United States. So we've got the Case-Shiller House Price Index. This is quite an old one, it's for August. Up another 1.2%. We did get a slight fade on the annual rate from 20% year on year to 19.7%. But it's the rents that go with these sorts of house prices which are going to cause one hell of a headache for the Fed before long, because this is the cost of shelter as this starts to balloon inside the CPI in the US, and it's largely a rent equivalent and an actual rent paid component which runs into the CPI. And that one is going to go up very, very substantially. It counts a third the CPI. So this is the next big push up. So far, it's been goods prices and the supply chain problems which have been leading to the CPI being higher than expected. Now it's starting to migrate into housing and services. And so that's where the next pressure point comes from. And obviously, the Fed has to respond to that at some point. Some of the other data, we had October consumer confidence came out. That was expected to come down. It didn't. It went the opposite way. It went up to 113.8 from 109.3. We had September new home sales. They were expected to lift by 2% month on month. They lifted by 14% month on month. So some of these more recent indicators, we also had first look at third quarter GDP. We always knew there was going to be a fade on GDP because we had two quite weak months for retail sales before they picked up in September. So GDP, which in Q2 for the US was running at 6.7% annualized, came back more than expected, down to 2% annualized. And the driving part of that was consumer spending. Consumer spending was running at 12% annualized going back to Q2. That came back to 1.6% annualized in Q3. And there's a moving part in this, and it comes down to household income in the US. What's happening in the US is that they're moving from a phase where household income was largely supported by government payments, very generous government payments too, which came off the table through the course of Q3. To be replaced by household income being driven largely by wages growth. Now, wages growth is coming through very powerfully, but it was a big jolt going from extremely generous income support for just about all households in the US running through the September, through the June quarter, losing that to then go towards the next contributor, which is wages. Now, wages growth is going to be a very strong contributor. You're going to get some lumps and bumps running through the spending as we go through. But what it means is we're likely to see a reacceleration in US GDP as we get a little bit further down the track, unless something's put in its way, like much higher interest rates. Now, some of the worries, we had Q3 employment cost index. This had been moving around about 0.6%, 0.7% a quarter, quite high. The market thought we would get a 0.9% increase for employment costs in the Q3. They went up 1.3%. So clear indication that much higher wages are being paid in many, many places. And this is only getting worse at the moment. And so again, these sorts of indications as for the Federal Reserve. And the Federal Reserve meets this week. Its meeting is on Wednesday. We'll hear the result of that on Thursday. Now, obviously they won't be changing interest rates, but they will probably announced that they're going to be tapering the support for the bond market. And this is coming at a time when bond yields all the way around the world from time to time are coming under upward pressure because things are not going the way that central banks anywhere have told us. Every single central bank has said, look, you know, the inflation push is temporary, it'll come back, we don't have to worry about it, we can afford to hold accommodating monetary policy longer. Some central banks have broken ranks over the course of the past month because they're starting to recognise that things are moving up. And other central banks are trying to pretend that they can hold things down when things are going against them. And amongst those are places like the ECB, where you know, they had their meeting last week and basically came out, Christine Lagarde, new head of the ECB there, saying, well, yeah, inflation's not as temporary as we thought, but we still think we can hold interest rates down. You know, that'll bring us around to you know, what the RBA is probably going to have to try and do running through the course of this week. But just looking at one or two of the other things which are coming out of the US this week, some of the ones that will be watched, we've got the ISM manufacturing PMI and services sector PMI coming out this week, both October readings. Both likely to be around the 60 mark, so both very, very strong still, so giving this indication that you know the power of demand is not going away. So we've still got this pressure point coming through. We also have October non-farm payrolls coming out on Friday, and ahead of that, the measure of unit labour costs in the United States. Unit labour costs rose by 1.3% quarter on quarter going back to Q2. They're expected to rise by a record 5.8% quarter on quarter for Q3. So it gives you an idea of how tight things and how quickly inflation is getting out of control in the United States with that sort of number. And we'll see it again on Friday with inside the non-farm payrolls report. We'll get October average hourly earnings. And average hourly earnings, the market's hoping that we'll get a little bit of settling back to a 0.4%. month-on-month increase, remembering that every single month over the last few months, average hourly earnings have come in upside of market expectations. I don't think it's going to be any different with this one. And even if it came in at 0.4%, the annual change in average hourly earnings would mark up from 4.6% year-on-year to 4.9% year-on-year. So really starting to mark higher running through these sorts of numbers and you know, giving a headache. In fact, these sorts of figures are starting to give headaches to every central bank around the world now. Very briefly out of China, we've got purchasing managers' reports coming out. Most of these have been moving around the 50 mark, with services a little bit stronger. They're expected to stay around those sorts of levels when the numbers come out through the course of this week. We'll get both the official ones and also the cakes in the private sector ones. But in Australia, well, the big shock last week was obviously the inflation rate, and it wasn't so much the headline inflation rate. That was at 0.8% quarter-on-quarter where the market expected, and the annual change on that came back to 3 from 3.8%. The shock came through the two underlying rates, and we had the trim mean and the weighted median. Market thought that those would be 0.5% each. They came in at 0.7% each. And as a result of that, for the first time in 6 years, we've pushed above 2% year-on-year on the trimmed and the weighted median. That was up from 1.6 and 1.7% respectively. In fact, both of them came out at 2.1% year-on-year. Why does that matter? Well, go back to the last monetary policy statement that the Reserve Bank brought out, and according to their baseline forecasts, they expected the underlying inflation rate to stay at 2% or lower all the way through to December 2023. In other words, what they've got with the underlying inflation rate now is running 2 years ahead of their forecast, and it's getting worse, so it's likely it's going to get higher. So that means that you know their guidance has just been thrown straight out the window because this week you know they've both got a Reserve Bank board meeting, and then they've got a quarterly monetary policy statement coming out on Friday. The quarterly monetary policy statement, they've been having to revise upwards their forecasts of inflation every single quarter over the last four quarters and still come up with the same guidance on rates. Well, you know, this next one, they'll have to revise up a long way as far as inflation is concerned. They may still be able to try and pretend that there's parts of the inflation rate which are going to be temporary, but there's so many parts that aren't now that are starting to come through. And their talk about wages, they only have to look at the front page of the Financial Review. This morning, a second law firm is giving all of its staff a 10% annual pay increase. These are huge increases. And it's starting in law firms. Every single business is going to face this sort of pressure before long, or they lose their employees, simple as that. Every business is going to have to look at much bigger pay increases than they've been thinking about over recent times. And it's starting in parcels, it's in the law firms, it's in most service companies. We've got a lot of pressure now starting to run through. As far as inflation is concerned, the Reserve Bank has to find a way of changing its guidance. So when we get to Tuesday, what we should expect is that they'll have to admit for a start that they've lost control of the three-year bond yield. They were supposed to be holding that at 0.1%. Obviously, late last week, they got up to 0.7%. So that one already, the market's taken them on and is winning. And the real issue is how the Reserve Bank actually it's going to try and hold the official cash rate low for as long as it possibly can. So the official cash rate is obviously what affects variable mortgage rates here in Australia. It's lost the battle as far as fixed rate mortgage rates are concerned. Obviously, every single financial institution is going to be starting to lift those for the 2 and 3 year fixed mortgages and the 5 year fixed mortgages. By quite a bit over the course of the next month or two. So the pressure points are going to come through there. They may be able to hold the line a little longer as far as the cash rate's concerned, but it's now highly likely that the cash rate has to rise at some point in 2022, and that over the next 18 months, we've got perhaps as much as 75 basis points or a 4 percentage point of increases in the official cash rate. So we are moving into a very, very different phase. Just some of the other pressure points that were there in the data last week in Australia. We had export prices came out. They rose 6.2% quarter on quarter and now up 41% year on year. Import prices rose 5.4% and are up 6.4% year on year. Import prices, of course, are what are going to be feeding into the inflation rate as we go further forward. And an interesting point in the import prices was imports of basic manufacturers running from clothing and textiles through shoes through white goods. The average annual increase now on import prices is over 5%. So very soon, a lot of retailers in Australia are going to have to start to lift their prices too. They won't be able to hold those down for very much longer. We had preliminary September retail trade, and we had two other factors which will come as a bit of a shock to the Reserve Bank. One was that retail trade, even in the closing stages of the big lockdowns in Victoria and New South Wales, had a really good rise. Heaven knows what it's going to do when we're all getting our freedoms now. But the market thought we'd get a 0.2% rise. We've got a 1.3% month-on-month rise. So quite a deal of strength running through there. The other factor was just the tax office, where they came out with details of tax payments through the course of Q3. And they were $8 billion more than expected. So in other words, even with lockdowns, businesses in particular have been doing quite well. And you don't have to go much further than that, what I mentioned on export prices. For some of the resource companies, they've never had anything as good as this before. You've got prices which are up 41% year on year. That's a hell of a lot of profit growth they've got in there, which they'll be declaring at times over the next few quarters. And their dividends will be through the roof. So that's a fair bit of income to the people are holding those sorts of stocks as well. So these pressure points all building up to the Reserve Bank's now got to work out what its strategy is going to be, leading and trying to guide, not how they hold rates down all the way through to 2024, but how they step them up, because they have no choice now, basically. Now, moving into other factors coming out this week, apart from the RBA meeting on Tuesday, and also the monetary policy statement coming out on Friday, we also have September home building approvals. Last month, home building approvals rose actually by 6.8%. They probably will come back perhaps a little bit in September, down by 2%. We have September international trade data coming out. We had a massive trade surplus going back to August, $15.1 billion trade surplus in 1 month. It won't be quite as high as that for September, but still expects to be the second biggest on record at $12.2 billion. So very, very large. This is exports running well ahead of imports at the moment. On Thursday, we also get revised retail sales figures. This will also include the quarterly real figure for Q3. And at the moment, the market really hasn't adjusted to what came out with the September number because it's got quite a low 4.5% fall for real retail sales in Q3. It's likely to be a lot less than that. And the other thing this will lead to is, previously we knew there was going to be a dip in GDP for Q3. The dip in Q3 GDP doesn't look as big as previously expected, and the recovery beyond in Q4 into Q1 now looks massive. We had those sorts of points coming through. In Europe last week, we had, again, the ECB decision. They changed nothing, but they had to admit that they still think inflation is temporary, but temporary means it's going to last all the way through 2022 now. So that doesn't look very temporary in any sort of circumstances. We had the preliminary October CPI came out, an underlying inflation rate. Big shocks again on the upside. The October CPI went from 3.3% year-on-year in September, was expected to go to 3.7. It went up to 4.1 year-on-year. And the underlying inflation rate went from 1.9% to 2.1%. It was expected to stay at 1.9. So, inflation upside shocks are showing through big time as far as Europe's concerned. They had their Q3 GDP, preliminary read of that. I should mention, too, that we've got the Bank of England meeting this week, too. That's another bank which is getting mighty close to an interest rate rise. So on Thursday, UK time, we may have something quite hawkish out of the Bank of England as well. In Europe this week, we have the September unemployment rates coming out. That's expected to drift down to 7.4% from 7.5%. Last week, we had their Q3 GDP. They had a good Q3 GDP for Europe. It was up 2.2% after being up 2.1% quarter on quarter the quarter before. The annual change did come down. That's because of the ebbs and flows through the pandemic. So it came back from 14.2% year-on-year to 3.7% year-on-year. But obviously, Europe's had a very strong Q2 and Q3 as far as GDP is concerned. That's where it reflects in the unemployment rate coming through this week too. That has been coming down. It was at 7.5% in August. It's probably going to come down to 7.4% in September. But the real shocker as far as Europe's concerned comes on Thursday, and they'll have their producer prices come out for the month of September. And the market expectation on producer prices is that the month-on-month will lift from 1.1% to 1.9%. The year-on-year will lift from 13.4% to 15.2%. But that month-on-month at 1.9%, if you start annualising that, you're well above 20% year-on-year. And that's roughly where producer prices are moving at the moment out of Europe. We take a lot of imports from Europe, that's going to be very, very hard to accommodate those factory gate prices lifting at that sort of pace. So it was pretty dramatic at the end of last week in the local bond market, the way we saw those yields finally the bond market's saying, look, we just don't believe the Reserve Bank anymore. We're taking it on. The Reserve Bank, having to literally step back at one point too, recognising it couldn't go up against the pressure that it was facing. We probably get a little bit more of that upward pressure on bond yields. There will be obviously some points where people will buy into it again when they get very high too quickly. We're now on a pathway to interest rates, which are definitely moving a fair bit higher than we've been used to for a long time past.